You'll take your Bible this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 this morning. Genesis chapter 11 is a very interesting chapter. And I've struggled this week with Genesis chapter 11. Because we've been going through the book of Genesis and we've been looking at different people in the Bible, seeing their significance and what we can learn from it and the importance of their life and their message. And then you come to Genesis chapter 11. And Genesis chapter 11 is like many other chapters in the Bible, that when you read it, sometimes you read it and you read portions of the chapter and say, why is that put in there? Why is this in the Bible? It's like algebra. What does it have to do with me? Right? Don't you remember growing up in high school and junior high? What does this have to do with me? And then later on in life, you find out, well, it does have something to do with you. There is a purpose in it. And I read through, you know, we just briefly preached on the life of Noah. And now we're coming down to Genesis 11 and chapter 12. And the next important individual in the Bible is Abraham. And if you're familiar with the Bible, that's nothing new. You know, Noah and Abraham. But then in the middle of Genesis chapter 11, you have this, and we're not going to read all of these, but verse number 10, these are the generations of Shem. And how many times have you read in the Bible chapters where it just lists generation after generation after generation after generation, right? These are the generations of Shem. And you go all the way down through, you go verse 10, all the way down through to verse number 26, and then you get to verse number 27. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot, and he got more generations. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, or Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Isaac. And you say, well, what? Now, the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. Sometimes you read and you say, what is this all about? What, couldn't we, you know, we could have made the book a little shorter, right? Think of your yearly Bible reading schedule, how shorter it would be if we took out all the genealogies, right? Right? Man, you'd cut out a whole month of reading the Bible. You might be able to do it in 1 year. And all week, why? Why? You know, and then I came to verse 29. Verse 29, it says, Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran. And you know, I actually this week I started looking at what their names meant. I said, well, maybe there's a significance in their names. Because many times in the Bible, their name does give us some meaning. Like back in chapter 10, the Bible says in verse number 25, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And it says the name Peleg means division. And in the time of Peleg, God scattered all the peoples of the world according to their language. But then you read other names and you say, well, what's the meaning of this name? And it's interesting. And when you come down to verse number 29, I get something out of it. Now, this is meant to be a little on the light side this morning as we begin. Because in verse number 29, Nahor's wife, the meaning of Milcah is queen. And I thought, oh, maybe this is meaningful for me. Because, you know, many times when someone retires, one of the suggestions, one of the thoughts is, you can write a book, right? You can write a book, I have no interest in writing a book. But as I was reading, I thought, here is the title for the book I should write and the subject matter for the book I should write. The Queen and I. The biography of Pastor Meter and his wife. And then I thought, no one's going to read it. No one here is going to read it, because you say, why would we read that? We lived it. And second of all, you say, who's he writing about anyways? I can understand about the Queen, but the other part? Who's he really writing? He's talking about himself? But then I looked up the name Nahor, and I said, here's what would make this book readable. Here's what would make it sellable. Here's what would make every member of Lakes Bond Baptist Church read it by multiple copies. Because the title would be The Queen and I, but it wouldn't be the biography of Pastor Meter's wife. But in parentheses under the title, The Queen and I, would be The Book of Nahor. Because you know what the word Nahor means? Snorting. And I thought, well, maybe that relates to snoring. And the subject would not be the biography of a pastor's wife, but here's what would make it really readable. The many ways I've annoyed my wife over the years. Now that you would buy, wouldn't it? Right? You'd say, I want to know. I'm not going to tell you all the ways I annoy my wife. But I started thinking about it. I'm like, boy, this would be a long book. There'd be multiple volumes. It could stretch on for ages. But that brought me to this. It brought me to this. That maybe one of the reasons why all these genealogies are listed in the Bible is because most of the time we focus on the big names in the Bible. The big names in the Bible. The Abrahams, the Noahs, the Davids, the Pauls. And yet it could just be that God is reminding us there's a lot more people in the world than just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Noah, and Moses, and all the big names. And the Bible speaks to us, really, in essence, in a big way, about relationships. Relationships. Because that's what life is all about. And that is actually the biggest challenge of life, isn't it? Relationships. Because it's easy, or it would be easy. Not likely and not reality. But it would be easy if every person that I had a relationship with was perfect, just like me. Right? Now, wait a minute. If you're nodding, think about what you just nodded. And your spouse is looking at you and saying, But wouldn't that be easy if everybody in every interaction throughout the course of a day, I mean, beginning with family, and extended family, and then workplace, and then people in general. I mean, life would be, boy, it'd be simple, wouldn't it? If every time you walked up to someone, how you doing, they said, great. And they really meant it because it was true. Or just the challenges of relationships. And you know, when Jesus Christ is teaching and speaking in the New Testament, three passages of scripture that we're going to look at this morning, all dealing with the same subject, the same story. But he brings it down to the impossibility It's a challenge in the impossibility of relationships. In fact, he brings it right down to that point of the most difficult thing in life is relationships. And so turn with me, if you will. We're going to move on this morning from Genesis. Turn to the book of Matthew. Turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. You know, relationships can be like mice. You know those little nice little furry creatures, those nice little outside creatures, right? That when you see them running through the grass, and those nice little field mouse, oh, how quaint they are, how pretty. Oh, look at the little mouse running through. Until, like, at our house last week, you get one in the wall. And he chews on a wire in the wall. And all of a sudden, your lights don't work. And all of a sudden, you're cutting a big piece of sheetrock to find out where the mouse chewed the wire so that you can fix the lights. All of a sudden, that nice, furry little creature that everybody wants to have in a little cage, right, and pet and be nice to, all of a sudden, that annoying little mouse, it's no longer easy to have a relationship with it, is it, right? I remember one time we caught a mouse over in the office. Remember this, Linda? We caught a mouse, and I told Linda, I caught a mouse. She says, what did you do with it? I says, oh, I took it out back and let it go. She says, what? But you know, relationships. Well, now listen, you don't take them out in the back and let them go. But relationships. You know, Jesus speaks to the Jewish people. In fact, the Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the rabbis who know all about the law and all about how you're to live and all about how you're to keep the law and in keeping the law, please God. And he brings it down to relationships. Two relationships. One between man and God and the other between man and neighbor. And it's interesting, Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he'd put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, well, already we got problems. We know how this is going to go. One of them is a lawyer, he's a scribe, and he's a lawyer, and he asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So this scribe, this lawyer comes to Jesus and thinks he's going to trick him up and get him in his response. And he says, what's the great commandment? Out of all the commandments, which one is the great commandment? Most important. Let's narrow it down. Which is a great commandment? And Jesus responds, and this is brought forth in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in different ways to just bring about different points. But in Matthew, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. But the Lord doesn't stop. Jesus doesn't stop there. And he says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, the second commandment is like unto it. In other words, the second commandment, you should seek to achieve just like the first one. Loving the Lord thy God and loving thy neighbor. The second is just like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He says, all the other commandments, all the words, Everything falls under this. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, it says in Mark, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now notice something. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Go over to the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 10, because here we have more to the story. There's always more to the story, right? Right? There's always more to the story. And there's more to this story. There's more in this conversation, and Luke brings it out. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And here the lawyer stands up and says, How can I have eternal life? What do I need to do to have eternal life? And look at what Jesus said. He said to him, what's written in the law? How readest thou? And he turns it back to the lawyer. He says, well, tell me, what does the law say? What does the Bible say? What is the Old Testament scripture? What does it say? And this Jewish lawyer goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where this comes from. And answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor is thyself. And Jesus said, right. He said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. And he put it back on the lawyer. He says, you're right. So do that. See if you can do that. Try to do that. If you can do that, you live. You know what the Bible says this in Romans chapter 3. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see what Jesus was telling him was, if you can do that, boy, you'd be righteous. You'd fulfill the law. But what Jesus was pointing out to him is, you can't do that. You can't do that. Impossible. And in a moment we'll look, because the lawyer says, let me justify myself. Let me see if I can bring it about that I can say that I've done this. And the Lord is saying, can't happen. Now you might generally be a nice person, you might generally have a character or nature that it's easier to approach people or be with people I'm that way. You all know that. I'm that way. I'm an outgoing person. I drove down the road the other week, just driving down the road, and I see this pickup truck. It wasn't a company pickup truck, but it was in front of this house. Now, most of you, the majority of you, would just drive right by. You just keep driving by, not me. See, I've known this guy. He's my friend. Well, never met the guy. But he's my friend. How do you know he's your friend? Well, he's going to be my friend in about 2 minutes. So I just pull up my old pickup truck right next to his. But he's out in front of someone else's house. This is just me. Don't try this at home. So I pull up in front of his pickup truck, and I get out, and he's looking at me, and he's working on the front door. He says, hi, how you doing? He looks at me. I says, I'm Doug. I live up the street. Then I said, I'm the pastor of Lakeswamp Baptist Church. That always gets a conversation going. And I said, what you working on? And he starts telling me, and I start talking with him. We start sharing stories, and I'm telling about some issues I got at my house, and, you know, how can I fix this? And he's telling me about how busy he is, and, you know, he works for a company, but he's He's so busy, he's got to fix his daughter's house and his son-in-law's house, and he doesn't have time. And you know, after 15 minutes, this guy's giving me his telephone number. It says, hey, I'm busy right now, but you know, if you ever get a problem, give me a shout. And by the time I left, we're both friends. Now, that's my nature. I'm just that type of a guy. You know, if I walk in the store and if you're buying something, I'll give you advice. I'm your friend. I don't work there, but I'll help you out. And, you know, but that's sometimes easy. But we're not talking about when it's easy. We're talking about when it's difficult. Because this scribe wants to justify himself, and Jesus brings it down to when it's really challenging. You know what's interesting, though? What's interesting? My first point, by the way, which we're already into, is about the commandments. What was the first commandment? What was the first commandment? Somebody tell me. Huh? What was the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. But you know what? When the man responds and seeks to justify himself, he doesn't go to that commandment. He doesn't say, well, I've loved the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I've kept the commandments. He didn't try to justify himself on the basis of loving the Lord. Because, you know, when we talk about loving the Lord, it's easy to say, I love the Lord, and just, it's, well, that's one of those things that I love the Lord, but it's like anything else. Prove it. Prove it. Show it. How do you love the Lord? Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he brings it down to this man. He says, the second commandment. And the man understood this. The second commandment is really where the proof is and where the challenge is. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's interesting. They moved right on from thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and they moved into this one because this is where it shows us the reality. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Your neighbor, some neighbor, might be just easy to love. Some family members are easy to love. Now you two stop elbowing each other over there. Got two sisters over here elbowing each other, right? Glad my family's not here. They'd be shouting, stand up and say, yeah, it's you, Doug. It's not us, it's you. But isn't that the reality? Let me ask you this. How many families are perfect? How many of you get along with all your family? How many of us have family members that are at the least annoying? Right? My brother. My younger brother. I love my younger brother. But boy, he can be annoying. Especially when we're playing golf. Most annoying golf partner I ever had in my life. He'll distract me, irritate me, and then he'll step up and hit the best shot. Then he'll go back to annoying. And he'll win every time. This man wanted to justify himself. And so he says this, thinking he would justify himself and trap the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's get down to specific. Who's my neighbor? Now it sounds like a junior high student in the principal's office. Who's getting really put, who's my neighbor? And we have the story that goes on in verse number 30. So Jesus answering said, well, let's just put it to this. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw me, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, right about here, this guy is stopped dead in his tracks. A certain Samaritan. Now, wait a minute. Not the Samaritan. Don't tell me it's a Samaritan. You can tell me it could be the priest, the Jewish priest. Could tell me it be the rabbi, the scribe. Could tell me it's a Levite. Not a Samaritan. We're not going there. You're not going to pick the worst one out of all the people and say, this is the one. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Think about the most difficult person in your life to even think about loving. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak about. This Samaritan, well, he stopped. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw me, he had compassion. He stopped. Jewish priest didn't stop. Levite didn't stop, but a Samaritan stopped, had compassion on him, went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which out of these three do you think was the neighbor? Out of these three. To the one that fell among the thieves. And the man says, he that showed mercy on him. You know, notice that he didn't say the Samaritan. He even there he says, well, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said, I'm going to do likewise. You know what Jesus was pointing out? The difficulty, in fact, the impossibility of really loving others like Jesus commands us to. Some people are easy to love. Others are not so easy. Some are downright difficult. And yet the Lord said, a great commandment is love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we could do that, if we could do those things, if we could do those two things, setting aside all the other commandments, because they all hang on this, Jesus says, well, you'd fulfill the law. In fact, turn back to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, because the book of Mark brings it out as well. We're not going to go into this morning what it really means in detail about how to love others, what I want to bring something else to your attention. In the Gospel of Mark, in the Gospel of Mark chapter 11, not chapter 11, chapter 12, excuse me. Chapter 12, verse 28. Here we have the story again, and another aspect of it's brought out. Verse 28, one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked them, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, first of all, the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, here we go again. The second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. The scribe acknowledged it. He says, You've spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the scribe says, You're right, that's the truth. And he says, To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself, he says, That's more. In other words, we say, That's more difficult than fulfilling all the sacrifices, all the burnt offerings. The scribe is saying, that's harder than fulfilling all the law and all the burnt offerings that are described in the book of Leviticus and all the offerings and all. He says, that's more difficult than doing all that. He says, it would be easier to do all of that. And look what Jesus said. Here's what it all comes down to, folks. For these guys that Jesus was speaking to, and for you and for me, it's not only about the commandments, but it's about something else. It's about a connection. Because Jesus says this in verse 34. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst or dared ask him any question. He says, You're close. You're close. Right there as I read that, I said, You know, that's like when Pastor Meter asks the question. No one wants to raise a hand because they know if they raise a hand and they start to answer, the pastor's going to say, Well, yeah, no, close, but... No. Right? You're close, but you're not quite there. And he says this to me, he says, You are so close, but you're missing something. You're so close to the answer, but you're missing something. And you're missing what it is. The only thing is that will enable you to not only love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but also to love your neighbor as yourself. You're missing something. Something that will enable you. How can I
How can I
really love my neighbor as myself? How can I love that person that annoys me the most? Boy, I was embarrassed even tell you this one. I had to call somebody the other day. You know how when you have your contacts in your phone book? You know how when you just save a contact, you just kind of sometimes just write the first name down and don't write the last name down, and then you get several names with the same name and trying to think, oh man, which one is which? Yeah. This is why you know your pastor's human, by the way. This is how the Lord reminds me how frail and weak I am. Especially in life. You know, the Lord has a wonderful way of helping your pastor understand personally about what he's preaching. Because the other day I had to call someone up, so I dialed the number, looked at my contacts, dialed the number thinking I was going to get the right person. And I got someone else. The only problem with this someone else, it was just one of those contacts that, not one of your favorite contacts. Anyways, you get my point? No, you don't get my point. Go home and think about it. I got the wrong number, and I was not really happy that I got the wrong number. The wrong number answered, and I just spent 10 minutes with the wrong number. Someone that I would rather not have spent 10 minutes on the phone with. Now you all wonder, who was it, right? No one around here. Someone far away, all right? And I talked with him and everything, and the Lord was reminding me, Pastor, I'm going to have you preach about loving your neighbor. The one that annoys you sometimes. And I'm going to put you to the test before you preach. Because it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult for every one of us. Even me. Worse for my wife. He says to the man, you're close. And in every one of those passages, you know what the next thing the Lord directs your attention to? Look at verse 35. Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is a son of David? And you know what he brought these Jewish people to? They were wondering how they could keep the law and fulfill the law. And he brings them to two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the first one. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. You do this and you could have eternal life. And the scribe says, well, who's my neighbor? And he says, the one that is the furthest away from you being able to fulfill in your life to love. And this man says, in this portion it says, I'd rather keep all the other commandments than this. This is the most difficult. And he says, you're close, but you're missing the connection. And you know what the connection is? It's back in one word in that first commandment. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord. What's the next word? Thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord, thy God. You see, it's not about being able to fulfill that second commandment. Because in and of ourselves, we are unable to do that. We fall short of the glory of God. but only through a connection, and that connection is Jesus Christ. Can we even begin to think about loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And even in a more practical way, loving our neighbors, thyself. Oh, you can be friendly. I'm friendly. But to go to the depths of really what it means to love your neighbors, yourself, as brought out in the story of the Good Samaritan, can't do that without the connection. And the connection is the person of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Not just thou shalt love the Lord some God or a God or the God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thy God. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing out. That if you want eternal life and you want the evidence of that eternal life in your life, in the practicality of being able to love others as you love yourself, it's only through one person, Jesus Christ. Only through one person, Jesus Christ. Because Romans chapter 5 says this. If you'll turn there, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want you to see it. Not just hear it, but I want you to see it. This is the only way we can begin to even think about loving others as ourselves. Look at verse number 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, I can't begin to love others. In fact, I can't begin to love the Lord until first I know Him personally. Brings us back around to loving the Lord our God. Why should we love the Lord our God? Because He first loved us. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why should we love the Lord? Because He loved us enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that our sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ loved us enough to lay down His life so He could redeem us and give us eternal life. How should I love Him? By keeping His commandments. What does He say the second commandment is? To love my neighbor. How can I love my neighbor? Not in and of myself. Because the neighbor on this side might be a nice guy. And yet the neighbor on this side might be the direct opposite. Might be easy to love this neighbor. But this guy over here, are you serious? You want me to love him? I can't begin to think about doing that until the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And only then, and that goes, by the way, that goes back to Philippians. I can do all things through who? Who? That didn't sound strong enough. Who?
Christ.
Which strengthen us. Right? So the number one question is this. Do you have that connection with Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior? He said to the scribe, he says, you're so close. You're so close, but you're missing it. If you're trying to get to heaven, if you're trying to have eternal life, by living a good life or doing something, that's not it.
It's only through Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that loved you, died for you, rose again. He's the only one that gives eternal life. And to love others? Oh, how we need Jesus Christ to do that. Amen? And yet, Christians, it's what the Lord commands us to do. Boy, we need to pray. Lord, help me to want, to desire, to think about, and then to be able to love others. Because you know what? You go back to Genesis chapter 11. There's a lot more people in the world than just Abraham and Sarah. There's people like Milcah, queens. Long live the queen. There's people like Nahor. You gotta be kidding me. You hear how loud this guy snores? Queen. Easy to love. Nahor. Different story. And yet the Bible says, love the Lord thy God, love your neighbor. Only through one person, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, help us this morning. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's never trusted Jesus Christ, their Savior. Someone might have questions. Someone might not be sure about how to have eternal life. Lord, that after the service this morning, they might approach someone and say, help me. Help me. Show me how I can have eternal life. And Lord, for each of us today, Lord, how can we begin to love others apart from your love being given to us by your Holy Spirit? Help us, O God, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.